But we began a study last Wednesday in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And it is my desire over the course of the next few weeks to look at the individuals, the men and the women in this chapter here, to look at their character that makes them stand out in the Word of God as men and women of faith. They're included in the Word of God for their example to us, and we are to learn from their example. Now, last week, we established that this chapter, we call it a chapter of faith, but it is a chapter that is not necessarily about saving faith. It is a chapter about living faith. That is, how we are to show a life of faithfulness in our works before others. It is a continual process. Living faith, like saving faith, is a gift of God. But living faith increases in our lives when we continue to do what God has asked us to do. It means our living faith gets stronger depending upon our desire and our willingness to do what He has asked us to do. Now, last week we spoke of the faith of Abel. And tonight we're going to look at the next man here in this chapter. Now, like Abel, we don't have a great number of verses to tell us a big story or the life history, or what you might call it, of this man, Enoch, that we'll be studying tonight. Not like we do with Abraham and Moses as we get into those studies. And like I said last week, when we get into some of those characters that we know more about, we may spend more than 1 week upon these. So tonight, though, we're going to look at just one character here, and this is Enoch. So without further delay, let's look in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse number 5. And we'll read down through verse number 6 to establish the text tonight. It says, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Enoch, of course, is the first of only two men recorded in the Word of God that did not die, but were rather translated into the presence of God. Now, we know, of course, that the other person was Elijah. And many believe that because these two men did not die here upon this earth, they were never recorded as dying, and because the Word of God says that it is appointed for once for man to die, that it will be these two men who God will send back to this earth during the Great Tribulation to be a witness as the two prophets as recorded in the book of Revelation. And that very well might be true. You know, the Word of God tells us a lot about the life of Elijah. And when we look at the description of the prophets there in the book of Revelation, we can certainly see how Elijah could be one of those men. But when we look at Enoch, the Bible tells us really very little about the life of Enoch. But what it does tell us tonight, we're going to look at every bit of what the Word of God tells us about Enoch. So, we're going to turn over to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 18. Genesis 5, 18. We're going to read down through verse 24 and read about Enoch. It says here in verse 18 of Genesis 5, "And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years old, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, I started all the way back in verse 18 because I wanted to include every verse here that spoke of Enoch. And here we have recorded his birth, his life, and his departure from this life. Now, if we were to begin in chapter 5, and we were to read this entire chapter, we would find little information here except for the record of names, ages, and deaths. It is a graveyard full of names that assure us that the promise was true that was told of God to Adam that if thou shalt eat of this fruit, that thou shalt surely die. You see, death passed on to Adam through sin, and through Adam, as our federal head, sin passed on into the human race. And it has continued on because the wages of sin is death. And all men have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Just as true today as it was back in Genesis chapter 5. But here in the midst of this graveyard, we come to this man named Enoch. Enoch's name means initiated or consecrated. We'll come back to that very point at the very end. Initiated or consecrated. And here, in Enoch's life, we find the first mention of hope beyond the grave, recorded in the Word of God. No time before this do we have the mention of a place called heaven. No time before this do we even have the mention of a place called hell. But here, we find that it is possible for man not just to have a relationship with God upon this earth, but man can extend that relationship beyond this life into his heavenly abode. It's the first time we have hope of life beyond death, or beyond this earth. We should even say that. The scripture here says in Genesis that he walked with God. And that's really the subject that we're going to look at tonight, walking with God. He had a walk of faith. But before we get into that walk necessarily, I want you to remember the words of Hebrews that I tried to stress as I was reading it just a moment ago. You see, because Enoch's walk with God, Hebrews told us that he had the testimony before he died that he pleased God. That he pleased God. You know, we desire approval in our lives. That's something we desire in our lives. It is one of man's primary motives in life that drives him to act in certain ways. You know, as a child, we learn very early in our lives that we want to be pleasing before our parents. We want to please them. We want to please grandparents. You all know how your grandchildren are. They want to please you, bring you flowers or bring you gifts, make you things, draw you pictures, because they want your approval. And as they travel into kindergarten, they take that desire for approval and they desire that of their teacher. And they desire that of their other children that are in their class. They desire to have the approval of their other classmates. You know, I remember both of our children did the exact same thing. You know, when they got into kindergarten and there were certain people that they liked or whatever, they desired to take them little gifts or to do this, you know, for them or because they wanted their approval. They desired their friendship as such. As adults, we seek to gain other people's approval. You know, when we date, we're desiring another person's approval. When we are married, we are still desiring the approval of our spouse. As parents, we desire the approval of our children. At work, we desire the approval of our bosses and our co-workers. It's true in just about everything that we do. But along the way in our life, we must learn wisdom in those people that we desire to please. Wisdom in the desire, or wisdom in the people that we desire to please. You see, if we are seeking approval from the world, if our desire is to be the most popular kid on the block or the most popular person at work, the one that everybody comes to and wants to do everything with, then what ends up happening is we will compromise the will of God to get the approval of others. We have to compromise if that's the way we work. Now, it even gets worse, you know, as we think about sometimes as kids grow up and they get involved in the kind of the wrong crowd, whatever that crowd may be. But as they desire to have the approval from their friends, they're more likely to do things that they ought not do, whether it's to take drugs, whether it's to go slash tires or whatever. They'll get involved in those things and go just further down the road of depravity. And you know, all of us here, and I understand there's not a lot of us here tonight, but you know what? At points and times in my life, because I've desired the approval of friends or desired approval of somebody else, there's been times that I've compromised and done things that I should not have done because we wanted to be pleasing before somebody else. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. The text here is plain that Enoch walked with God. Even though that Enoch was living in a sinful world, even though that the thoughts and the actions of men were evil all around him, Enoch chose to please God. He chose to walk with God instead of walking with the world. He chose to have a friendship with God rather than a friendship with the world. And you know, people will say from the beginning as they look at the character of Enoch, well, Enoch was a special person. There's never going to be another person like Enoch upon this earth. And you know what? I don't think that's necessarily true. You know, as we look at the Word of God, he is not the only person that is recorded that walked with God. We see Noah has the same testimony right after this. And there's others in the Word of God. You know, he might be the only one that was translated, yes, but don't get hung up when we look at the character of Enoch and his walk with God and his faith with God. We cannot get hung up on what is extraordinary in his life. If we're going to get hung up on one thing, it's the fact that we should get hung up on he walked with God. He had the faith to walk with God. And don't think because that he was translated either that he lived a life without sin. Because that isn't true either. We know that only one person came to this earth who lived without sin, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. All others in this life, regardless of who they are, have had sin in their life. You know, Elijah, we have more about him recorded in the Word of God. He was translated, but as we look into the life of Elijah, Elijah was not a perfect man. He had failure. He had sin in his life. He had doubt in his life. So Enoch was not a man without sin. And I want you to notice something here in Genesis. It says that Enoch begat Methuselah when he was 65 years old. Spring chicken in these days. If you look through this chapter here, that is a spring chicken. But notice what it says about Enoch. And notice it carefully. It says that he walked with God when? After he begat Methuselah. His closeness with God, his walk with God, as close as it was, did not come before Methuselah was born. It came after. And I mention this, and God knows, I wish so many more were here tonight to hear this, because some people feel because they did not spend a certain amount of years in the first part of their life going around and doing what God would have them to do, that they can't have this certain walk with God later on, the same kind of walk that somebody who was raised in church all the way and never seemed to stray. They don't think they can have that same closeness, but they can have that same closeness. They absolutely can. Any one of God's saints, regardless of how they've strayed in the kingdom of God, can walk with God right now if we stop, if we repent, and we start doing God's will. Listen, I sincerely believe tonight that absolutely anyone can have a testimony that is pleasing to God right here in the very community that we live in. Whether it's Cerrito or Lavalette or Wayne, Garrett's Creek, whatever you want to say, the community that we live in. Listen, God's Word never said that Enoch lived in a monastery up on a hill, that he had no contact with anybody else, that he was a hermit. And you know what? I don't think he did. I don't think he lived that kind of life. I believe that as a fact, he stood before the people as a prophet of God. And I believe that he preached to them the importance of following after God. And I say that based upon two verses found in the Word of God over in the book of Jude. And you all have heard this many times, undoubtedly. Jude 1, 14-15, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all." You see, Enoch preached the message of the final coming of God. God revealed that to Enoch just as He did to Daniel, just as He did to John. He revealed that same precious truth to him. And he preached it back then. So he stood as a prophet before the people, speaking and preaching to them. As a matter of fact, even the son, his son's name Methuselah. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but you know what Methuselah means? When he dies, the end will come. You know, there's a prophecy in that name that came from God. In our remainder of time this evening, I want to consider Enoch's walk with God and how we can walk with God as well. For that ought to be our plea tonight. You know, we sing that song sometimes. I don't think we sing it in the church necessarily, but I know we've all sing it, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea." Those are wise words. Wise words. The Word of God says in Hebrews that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That ought to be our desire, to diligently seek Him, to have that walk. So let's consider Enoch's walk. First, we know that Enoch believed in God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So he had faith that indeed God was not just a story that was passed down from generation to generation. He did not just have a head knowledge. He had a heart knowledge of God. You know, you can't walk in harmony with someone side by side unless you know that person. Unless you truly know that person. You think of your own relationships in your life. You know your wife more than any other person upon this earth. And when, you know, you all walk side by side because you know each other well. You know you can finish each other's thoughts. You know each other's sentence. You know each other's ways. That's the way we are in our lives. To know someone is a way that we can walk side by side with them. And without truly knowing someone, we can never truly do that. We're going to end up to a point where we disagree. Now, intellectually, we can have a knowledge of God. But when God grants to us saving faith, then at that point in time, we can begin to know God in a way that we have never known Him before. We can't know God. We cannot know His Word. We cannot know anything like that until we have that saving grace in our life. But once He grants that to us, we can know Him so much more. He is like a father to us. He desires a closeness in that bond that we have to Him. Just like a child that would crawl up on their father's lap, their daddy's lap. You know, we look in the New Testament when Jesus teaches us how to pray and He says, "Abba, Father." That's like saying daddy. That's daddy in the Greek tongue there, the first word that they learn. That's the closeness of the relationship that we should desire to have with God. But you know what? That intimate knowledge of God, that closeness, you know what? It doesn't just fall out of the sky and illuminate our minds. We must come to this knowledge by what? Diligently seeking after Him. And how do we do that? Well, one way we can learn about God is learning from others who already know Him. Just like when Randy was talking a while ago about Carol and his testimony that he had. We learn from other people. You know, when Enoch was upon this earth, he didn't have the King James Bible. In fact, you know, I don't even know if anything was being written down at this point in time. But we know that they had a very strong oral tradition throughout history and how they would tell one generation upon one generation in such a way that there was nothing left out. It was exact. It was word for word the way that it was. And they had such a great oral history there that existed at that time. Now, if we go back in Genesis chapter 5, and we add up years, we'll find that at the time that Enoch was born, that Adam was actually still living. He was still living at that point in time. So potentially one could even at the time of Enoch go back all the way to the horse's mouth and hear the story of God and how God placed him in the garden and how God brought him Eve and how God, after sin, kicked them out of the garden, taught them how to sacrifice, told them of the promise of the Messiah. He had that chance to do that. I don't know that he did. I don't know that they had that closeness that was there. I don't know. We don't know that. But folks, he heard it. Absolutely, he heard it. And he believed it with all of his heart. And we too can learn of God through the testimony of others. We can grow closer to God when we learn about how God has blessed other people in their lives during times of trial and tribulation. You know, when we hear stories about how God has blessed somebody during a trial of cancer or a trial of hardship in the family or whatever it might be, when we go through that same trial in our life because we know those trials are going to come upon us, what does that do? That strengthens us because we know that God is faithful. God was faithful to them. God will be faithful to us. Whenever I hear the testimony of any saint saying that the Lord did this for me in my life, I can learn from that. We can learn from that. We also develop a closeness to God through the reading of Scripture. And you know, this is one thing that I mentioned from the pulpit so many times. It seems like so many of my messages, you know, one of the points is reading the Word of God. But, you know, I believe it is absolutely the most important thing that a Christian can do is to read the Word of God. And if they're going to walk with God, if they're going to have a relationship with God, they need to know what God said. You know, in this book that we have before us, we have the answer on how to approach every hurdle that we will ever face in our walk with God, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whether it be problems in our marriage, whether it be problems with our children, whether they just be spiritual issues, all of the answers are right here before us. Are they all spelled out for us, plain and simple? No, but we will find them in the lives of the saints that have lived before us. Because they've all been through it. Nobody in this Word of God was perfect, again, except for Christ. And we go through here and we find troubles in marriage, we find troubles in finance, we find troubles spiritually, we find all of these things that we can draw from. And there is no greater way, in my opinion, to come to know God than through His written Word. He tells us to study, to show ourselves approved before Him. Lord willing, we'll be talking more about that study on Sunday night. But God speaks to us as we have questions for God. God speaks to us more through His Word than any other avenue that we can go to God through. You have a question, you take it to God in prayer, and you begin reading, God will show you the answer. Another way that we can develop our closeness, of course, is coming into His house and listening to the preaching and teaching of God's Word. God has ordained this method. He has ordained the method of His church to go and to teach and instruct the saints. The more we're here, the more we absolutely learn of Him, and the closer that we can walk with God. Now, secondly, Enoch in his walk not only knew God through his deep faith, but he also agreed with God. I know that seems a weird thing to say necessarily, but listen, he accepted that God's Word was final. God's Word is final. Scripture tells us over in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is simply that they cannot. They may walk together for a short time, but like we said earlier, in the end there will be a parting of ways. One will go in one direction, one will go in another direction. We can even see that borne out in the Word of God. We see it in Paul and Barnabas. You know, when they had the issue where they could not agree over John Mark and whether to take him or not, and the division became so sharp that they split directions. They went in two different ways. And we see that truth borne out in our own lives as well. You know, there's times that we've parted ways with people because of difference of opinion. But when we see the walk that Enoch had with God by faith, we see that he accepted that God's Word was the Word, it was the true Word, and it is the only Word that mattered. The same is true for us today. God is all sovereign. God is all knowing. And God is all perfect. And man is absolutely none of those things. Absolutely none of them. You know, so many people look at the Word of God and they say, well, how can God create a hell if He is a loving God and send people to a hell for an eternity? They look at the doctrines of grace that we believe in, speaking of the sovereignty of God, and they say, well, how in the world can God choose some and not choose all? And you know, they try to evaluate God based upon their limited knowledge. And because of that, many times, many people will say, well, God's Word can't be true. They just can't agree with the plainness of the teaching of God's Word. But you know what? As humans, we have absolutely no right to question the motives of God, to question the ways of one who is all holy and righteous. We are not to question the thou shalt nots. We aren't to question the thou shalts. You know what we're required to do? Obey. Just to agree and obey. Because we know that God's wisdom is far better than our wisdom will ever be. And His knowledge is far greater than what our knowledge will ever be. You know, I've been reading in the paper this week and that all the Nobel Prize winners in physics and all of these things that have come out and how they've greatly changed scientific thought. But I'm reminded what we're told in the Scriptures there in Psalms. The wisdom of man is but foolishness with God. So we must, as we walk with God, agree with God. Believe what He has said from Genesis to Revelation. Believe His Word. Believe His testimony. And that leads us directly to our last thought tonight. You see, a walk in faith is not just acknowledging God in our heart. It is not just agreeing with Him. But we must remember that our faith is shown by our works, and that's what Hebrews chapter 11 shows us more than anything else. faith without works is what? Dead. Dead. So we know that if Enoch were pleasing before God by faith, and that he walked with God, that his life must have been full of works that were pleasing before God. It just stands to reason. You can't get around it. God expects his children to bear fruit upon this earth. We cannot be light bearers in this world if we refuse to bear fruit. Christ said a good tree will bear good fruit. An evil tree will bring forth corrupt fruit. We need to produce good fruit in our life if we are going to walk with him. It is our lives ought to manifest all those things that he has told us that we should do and all those things that we shouldn't do. All those things that we can say that, yes, I agree with God, they need to be shown in our life as well. That we not be just people who smack our lips, but also do exactly as we say as well. Remember the words of Christ over in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that which I say?" When we are saved, we become a doulos. I remember Brother Hancock used to say that all the time, a doulos, a bond slave to Christ. He is our master. And our actions should show forth that we're not a slave to the things of this world, a slave to sin, a slave to wickedness, but indeed that we walk in the ways that is fitting of a child of the King. Because that's what we are. It does us very little good to say, "Oh Lord, I agree with you," and then to walk a life in rebellion. That is far from the picture of walking with God. In fact, that is just the opposite. Listen, the walk of God is one that is straight and one that is narrow. But we must stay on that straight and narrow if we're going to have the testimony that is pleasing before God. So truly, as we look at the life of Enoch, did he live up to his name? Consecrated. He certainly did. He took his life by faith and he consecrated it to the Lord so that he might be pleasing in his sight. And in the end, the Lord blessed him in a very special way by translating him into heaven. You know what? And I believe that. I believe that that's exactly what happened. But you know, tonight, as we dismiss, we can have that same closeness with God through faith. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be translated. I don't think any of us are. I think that the Lord still has work for Enoch to do, just as I think he has work for Elijah to do as well. But listen, no one in this room is exempt from being able to have that testimony before God that we walked with God and that we were pleasing in his sight. So we'll go ahead and end there tonight.